I can start it right now.
There you go. Welcome to the Time to Recover retreat. This is the workshop for In God's Time, Spiritual Growth. I am delighted to introduce our speaker, Nancy J. A warm welcome to you. Well, at this time, you may begin your presentation. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nancy J, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And so happy to be here, so happy to be of service, so happy to be at an OA meeting. And as you hear my story, you will see why. I picked this topic because it's so dear and near to me and the journey that I've traveled to get here. So I start off by saying that as a three-year-old, I remember loving God. Now, of course, I didn't call it as a three-year-old God, but that feeling of joy, of happiness, like when children are so excited, children and puppies are so excited, they just wiggle with joy and just so exuberant. That's the way I was. That's the way I felt with that feeling I now call God. But unfortunately, that did not last. Because I grew up in a fundamentalist Southern Baptist background. And I may not know the history, but my parents, because when I think about it now, it's just kind of, in fact, thinking about this talk, I realized my parents were born like the 1920s. That is not that far from them being from enslaved people. And one of the things that happened after the Haitian Revolution, the enslavers who were justifiably terrified figured out ways to keep the population from revolting. And one of the things they did was come up with the slave Bible. And what they did was they took the regular Christian Bible, took out all the passages for freedom, all the passages from joy, all the passages from oneness, and replaced it with all the passages, or kept in all the passages that slavery master, that you would get your reward in the by and by when you die, that all the things about misery and suffering and pain. And that's what I heard every Sunday. I remember saying, I've said it many times, the churches I went to in my youth, if you didn't feel worse coming out than when you went in, the minister hadn't done his job. Well, of course, that is not. In fact, I was doing what was that? Something on the big book around, I think the 12, one of the things I was doing some writing and said, there's no way in the world I would ever be connected or have any kind of feeling that I wanted to be involved with that God that I grew up with. In fact, I'd say, the God I grew up with is God is Dirty Harry. Go ahead, make my day. So then I have a reason to blow your ass away, excuse my French. And that's the way I felt. And when I stopped being made to go at 12, I vowed I would never, ever, 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 not enough ever nevers set foot in a Christian church to quote unquote worship ever again. So I was without a God because I could not relate to that God. And then when I was 40, right before my 40th birth, yeah, after my 40th birthday, two friends said, let's read this book together. And the book was a spiritual book and it had a lot of words about God and Christ. And every time I heard those two words, I just shook with rage. And one of my friends said to me, when I told her about it, she says, you have to separate your mother from God. And I just started crying. And it was at that point that I started to remember, what did I feel about God before I learned about it from others? And I remember that feeling. And I said, that's God. And this is about God's time. That was in January of 1990. Little did I know I would need that God. Because later on that year, I was diagnosed with a chronic and systemic autoimmune respiratory disease. And I heard a voice say, you've been trying to kill yourself since you were age 8 because I've been bullied by a teacher and the things I heard in church and other places, all I wanted to do was die. And I got clear. I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to keep living the way I was living. And it was at that point, it felt, I say, it's like something, like there was this suicidal half crazed person driving this car and drove us into a wall. And something woke up inside and said, "You're not going to kill us." And from that point forward, it was like I was being led. And I call that God, because it led me to the people that I needed in terms of healing. This wonderful doctor who said to me, "Don't look at this illness as your enemy. Look at it as your teacher and your friend. What is it here teaching? How is it here to befriend you?" And I went from knowing that I was thinking, knowing I was going to die, to knowing I was going to live. And I say, from that point forward, that was not only was I in touch with God, but I was so obedient. I heard so clearly. I got a yes, you do this. No, you don't. And if I didn't hear anything, it was my choice. Every time I needed something, it came to me before I'd asked. Long story short, I recovered. But then the ego took over, and I went, well, I can go back to doing what I was doing before. So the disease came back. Then I knew I had to be obedient again. And it couldn't be until I got well and then go back to my old ways. And I did that and started doing some of the spiritual work and things like that. But what I didn't understand that I know now, I had not dealt or was not dealing with the issues that had sent me to the food in the first place. And what happened, one of the things that happened, the doctor I went to recommended this healing diet that unwittingly took out all my trigger foods. So for 10 to 15 years, I was not eating my trigger foods. And then one day, because I had not been spiritually fit or keeping spiritually fit, because I kind of let that go in the day to day, I heard a voice say, someone said on a meeting, OA meeting, said, "If the voice spoke to us in Darth Vader, we'd get it." If it said, "Nancy, you've been so good for so long. You can go down there and have that one thing, one of those things." Now, as a compulsive overeater, even before getting in program, I know that that voice is lying to me, because if there's one of those things around and I eat, if there's more than one of those things around, I'm not going to have one unless that's the only one left. I'm going to eat all of it. And this is around, so I'd been unwittingly off my trigger foods from like 1992, 93, until about 2000. This would have been around 2003, 2004. And I remember I've been all this time, all that stuff was all around, that's all, and I never touched any of it. And this one day, the best idea I got in my mind was to go and have one of those things. Well, then I was off to the races. I was fully back in the disease. And I'm doing this until 2000, and my life implodes too, because I'm not in touch with God. I'm not doing any spiritual stuff. My connection to my higher power, to spirit, to goddess has been, it's almost non-existent. And my life is imploding all around me. And in 2000, this was 2009, my life imploded. And so I lost everything. And then, so 2009, I go from a six-figure job to working for Macy's. Okay. And where do I put me? Where is spirit of God or whatever put me? They put me in the home store, and I'm surrounded on three sides by my trigger foods. On three sides. And so what do I do? I'm eating, stealing that stuff, which can get you fired. And I keep saying, I'm going to stop, but of course I can't stop. And I don't understand that now. Then I didn't understand that then, I understand it now. I'm going to stop them. I'm eating and eating. I can get fired. In fact, I didn't have a car at the time, and I bought some dishware that was on sale, and the employees got a really great discount, and I bought that dishware and several place settings, and the security said I needed to take it home. Well, I didn't have any place to put it, so I put it in where I had it. They said I had to move it from where it was, so I put it in another place in the store. What I didn't know is that place had cameras, but I put it there. I paid for it. It was my stuff I paid for. And as I was taking it home a little bit at a time, one place setting at a time, security saw that and thought I was stealing it. And so they bring me in to question me. And I'm thinking, because they're not telling me
Gentle
why.
reminder, 20 minutes.
Thank you. They're not telling me why they brought me in. So I'm thinking that they are bringing me in because they found out that I've been stealing those things. But I had just read a Jack Reacher novel by Lee Child, and he's in the if you don't know that story, that series, he is a military policeman. And what he said was, the police bluff all the time. A lot of times they have absolutely no information on you. They're letting you to incriminate yourself. That's the only reason I didn't incriminate myself and get myself fired. Because when they finally, as they question me more and more, as I'm staying silent, they finally say something about the dishes. And I go, oh, that's what you're talking about. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm innocent of that. I didn't steal those dishes. You know, and now I'm all kind of outraged because, of course, I'm a crazy addict. And so, you know, I get away. I mean, I'm scot-free. So of course I'm going to stop eating that stuff. I didn't. And it was March of 2013. I called up a friend, a dear friend, and I'm crying because I'm eating the chewing on that stuff as I'm calling her saying, I can't stop. And I'd been in another program back in the 90s. And so I knew they had something around food. So I came into OA in 2013. The first meeting, I cried through the whole meeting. The second meeting, they did the promises, and I hope, you know, I would have the, you know, that I thought this would be great if I could get the promises. Well, all I did was come to meetings. I didn't put the food down. I had no intention of putting the food down. And October 1st is my birthday. October 2nd, I take off on my birthday. October 2nd, I come back to work. It's lunchtime, and a customer says, walks up to my register as I finished with another customer and said, I want to pay a bill. And I said to her, I can't help you. I'm not feeling well. You'll have to go to another register. I'm wondering, standing there looking at her, wondering why she's not going to a register. Why is she standing there looking at me? Well, talk about God's time. That woman was a nurse, and I was in the middle of having a stroke. She came around, my whole left side collapsed. I'm standing on a marble floor. That woman came around and helped me up until she could get some help to lay me down on the floor. I get into the ambulance and they say they're just coming by my building just coming by my building from another run. God's time. Take me to the hospital, a helicopter ride to the CCU at a hospital here in the area. That was a Tuesday. I did not having stop having many strokes until Thursday. I get out the ward, get off the CCU on Sunday. A few days later, they release me with a script for physical therapy. I go to the physical therapist, and she cannot say where I had a stroke. I know I had a stroke because I couldn't remember people's names. I'd know the face, but I couldn't match the names to the face. But I'm alive. Do not tell me there's not a higher power. And so now I'm screaming for a sponsor. I'm ready to work the program. I have the gift of desperation. And finally, I get a sponsor in December. And I said to I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. And my sponsor says for me to call her. And this is December. I call her. And I just that day bought my trigger foods with every anticipation of eating those trigger foods. And she and I were on the phone. And I'm hoping she won't ask me what I'm going to eat that day because I'm going to have to tell her the truth. And she said, what are you going to eat? So I tell her, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And she says, you need to put those in the trash. Well, I'm an addict. I've got to tell the truth. If I put them in the trash in the midnight hour, I'm going to be down there digging them out. So while she was on the phone, I flushed them down the toilet. So I'm working the program. January 1st, my friend's coming over for us to fix dinner together, January 1st of January. And I only found this out later. She and my brother were friends, and she said she wanted to change her mind about coming. But my brother said, "Well, I'll drive you over." And he drove her over to my house. We're fixing dinner, and I started not feeling well. And so I lay down on the couch because I'm not feeling well. And she says, You don't look so good. Shall I call your brother? No, I'm fine. And then she says, shall I call an ambulance? No, I'm fine. Should you call your brother? Maybe you want. Should I call an ambulance? Maybe you want. Well, I had a heart attack. I call the ambulance, get into the ambulance, get me to the hospital, another helicopter ride down to another hospital where a stent is placed in my heart. When I get back to work, someone says I was having frequent flyer miles on medical transport. And that's something you don't want to do. The interesting thing, like I said, my friend was not going to come. My brother said he'd bring her over. Otherwise, I would have been there by myself having a heart attack. And so I talk about God's time. Obviously, it's not God, God does not need me to be off the planet yet. I'm grateful for that. And so I started working my program like my hair was on fire because it was. And as I started to work the program, I got more and more, and having those experiences had me go more and more that, yeah, there's something larger than me, whatever I call it, that thing is watching over me because I always felt like that something was watching over me. And now I can say I call it that God, higher power, goddess. And as I'm continue to work this program, I'm so grateful what God has brought into my life because God has not only given me a life, but a life that I love, a life that is so amazing. So many of the people in my life today, I had no friends in 2009. And today I have such abundance. People who are in program, who understand higher power spirit, who understand the miracle that this program is, the miracle that I am. You know, I thought by this time I would be dead. And if I wasn't dead, I'd want to be. And every year I feel I get what I call my marching orders from God, from spirit. And in 2020, I got, Nancy, it's time for you to start your business. And what was so interesting about that is that, you know, that was right before my 71st birthday. I start my business. And God's time, and things just keep happening. What I need appears, what I need to know, what I need to hear, what I need to experience, who I need to experience comes into my life. And last year, I had this some moments where I was feeling a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, because there's only fear in God. So, if, you know, God is or God isn't. And one of my friends in program said to me, she said, you need to read step two and read Gnostics. Now, it's interesting about read Gnostics. Up until last year, my character defects are arrogance, know-it-all, superiority. I don't need to read Gnostics. I believe in God. Taking her advice, I recognize, no, when I'm in fear, I'm not believing in God. God is not present when I'm in fear. And for the first time in 10 years, I read We Agnostics and understood it and got so clear. And step two came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Because when I'm not believing in God, when God I've broken my connection to God and I break that connection, God doesn't. I'm insane. When I act out of fear, I'm insane. And reading that went, oh, yeah. And this year, I got that's time to let go of all those fears that have kept me small and in the box, hiding, not wanting to be seen, that I have gifts and talents that I need to be sharing with others. And I can't do it doing, you know, believing the things that I grew up with as a child, those messages. And so not only did I get those marching awards, but for the first time I got award for the year. And I never got that before. What's your award for the year? And my word for the year is joy. Joy, happy, joyous, and free. God's time and the things that I need to do come in God's time. I hear people all the time, especially because most people that I talk to are younger than me. And they will say, "Oh, I'm too old," or, and I say, "That's not an excuse. You can't use that with me. Because it's not about
Gentle
God."
reminder, 10 minutes.
Thank you. God has no time. That is a human construct of time. Whenever, as I'm being led to whatever it is, all those things I needed to have all those things happen. As unpleasant as a lot of it was, and a lot of it was terribly, terribly, terribly painful. But that's part of the human condition. What is it? Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. Now I'm clear that I don't have to suffer anymore, that I'm here to live a life beyond my wildest dreams, that I'm here to manifest God in human form, to do what God has sent me here to help others so that they don't have to suffer the things that I suffered, so they don't have to believe the things that I believed, so they don't have to live the way I lived for so long. And so God's time provides me what I need when I need it, and people, places, and things. As I said, one of the greatest gifts for me is people. People first, one of my values. And the people, as I said, in my life are God in spirit, are God in human form, God with is a God with flesh. That is what I'm experiencing today. And what amazes me is that it shows you what God can do. From going from a life where I did not want to be here to a life that I love today, I wake up in anticipation. I wake up going, what's going to come next? What's the wonderful gift? What are the wonderful things I'm going to hear? Who are the people I'm going to interact with? I start my day off with meditation, connecting with that higher power within me. That is inviolate, that I have to. And then I do my other spiritual practices. That is how I start my day, because that is what I need to stay connected to my higher power. And all throughout the day, I'm grateful, gratitude. I do 10 gratitudes a day, and that's what I write down. But all day long, I'm so grateful because I never thought that I would be here today. And I'm grateful for this program. This program, I didn't see this coming. I did not see this coming. I did not see this coming. I did not think that I could live a life I'm living today. And what's really God, it gets better and better. It gets better. My life gets better and better and better. I'm so in love with God, so in love with myself, so in love with the people that I meet and come in contact with, my circle of recovery people in recovery, people, other people I meet through other places who I connect with. Oh, that's the other thing, these deep connections with people that I said, it feels like I knew you in another life. I knew you at another time and space. I talk to someone and I feel this real connection with me. I have a neighbor across the hall and she's just amazing. And when I first met her, I was like, well, interesting. Because she says, I can see that you have a deep connection. And I went, wow, that's interesting. But I think my feeling is that my connection, my belief, my understanding, my love, my absolute adoration for that that I call God, Goddess, is beyond words and extends to those who can see it. And I'm so happy. And that's something I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And that's God. That's God. That everything led me here. Today I recognize that I'm not a victim. For a long time, I thought I was a victim. And when I realized I can't be a victim and do God's work, they're mutually exclusive. So I am not a victim. Have things happened? Oh, absolutely.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Is stuff going to happen? Yeah. But here's what I know. God is always with me, will always be with me. And so whatever I'm going through, I will have the support. I will have from God, but from those around me on my village, my tribe, my community, that to weather anything. And plus what I've come through, that's another thing. I no longer fear death because someone said, one of my sponsors said, you got more lives than a cat. Because obviously, I'm here for a purpose and I've been kept alive for a purpose. And I'm just so thrilled that I get a chance to fulfill that and to be of service to others because that's what I, when I got sick, I recognized that I didn't do it, I didn't heal just for me, but I was healed for others so that I can be a demonstration to people to say, you can do it too. Because if I can do it, you can do it. If I can find a way out, then you can too. And it's going, everyone's journey is going to look different, but there will be things that are common because all of you I have in common, we have in common a disease that damn near killed me. And on the other hand, I have a program that taught me how to come and connect with a power greater than myself so that I could have a life beyond my wildest dreams. So I'm so thrilled always to speak when I can, to be of service when I can. No matter how much I do, I can never pay back all that I've gotten. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And I thank my higher power. I thank all of you. I thank program. I thank the Big Book and Bill W. and Big Book and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, the first 100, because they set the path so that there would be a solution when I needed it. So thank you for letting me share in God's time. So thank you.
Nancy, thank you so much. I have never cried through anyone's share before. So I really appreciate you being here today. Kind of wondered what God had in store for me whenever I volunteered. I'm very grateful. If you'd like to take a moment and share your contact information in the chat, we would really appreciate it. I see your number there. We will now open the floor to participants.